Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, hello, and it's Tuesday night. I have to get it together because, you know, I've been doing a lot of traveling, so it's Tuesday night. Welcome to ABC of Apostleship. I got it right, Prophet Ashley.
You did. And I'm very proud.
And I'm excited about how God is moving and making things happen and doing wonderful things for us and great things for me. So this is Blog Talk Radio that I am greeting. And in a minute, are we there? We're there with Blog Talk Radio. See, we're trying to get things going. We've got Blog Talk Radio going, Periscope is going, and in a moment we'll have Facebook Live going, and then we'll be ready to get started. Well, I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about how He's doing, what He's doing, and it's just a blast. So I get a chance to go back to Chicago, Ashley. Can you believe that?
Uh-huh.
I'm going back to Chicago, but this time I'm going for a conference with KCIA and Apostle Bruce Cook. And if you go to my website after the show, if you can get more information about it. Now, why am I telling you that? Because instead of my normal prophetic ed program Thursday at 8 p.m., I will be speaking there, and you will be able to hear it. And you don't want to miss that because it's a different message, a different venue, and everything else. So, again, after the show, probably before I even get off really good, we're going to have information for you to tune in and watch my Facebook all day Thursday so you can get some instructions. You don't want to miss what God's going to do Thursday night. You definitely want to do that. So Prophetic Ed is still on, but it's going to be on apostolically. Isn't that great? Prophetic Ed apostolically. I'm excited. However, this is ABCs of Apostleship 2. Book 2, and I have a book here somewhere. Yes, I have a book. Somebody found my book for me. You know, I've been moving, so we're finding things, bits and pieces. So if you're wondering why I'm still here, hallelujah, we've been moving. But this is Discipling Apostolic Christians. Let's just do a quick recap. The first thing I want to say to you before I get into roll call, Apostolic Christians, why is it important? Because all Christians begin their walk with Christ apostolically. All Christianity begins and began with apostles, apostolically. So the foundational Christian, the foundation of Christianity, the literal premise of our faith is apostolic. It's apostleship. Jesus Christ was called by Paul in Hebrews 3:1, the apostle of our profession. One day I'll deal with that because, you know, there's so many variations. But he's called the apostle of our profession. So even though he came to the planet as a great prophet that Moses prophesied would come, he literally was a prophet because he had to introduce apostleship. You know how many people don't put it together that Jesus Christ came as a prophet, was called a prophet, and yet he did not appoint prophets. He did not install anything but apostles, something that wasn't even in existence in his world. Like, you know, at least not like that. So the first thing he did was, after he announced himself, presented himself, let people get to know him, he began to name 12 apostles. One apostle, sent ones, or spiritual ambassadors. If you want to know a quick way to understand it, you know, spiritual ambassadors, we say kingdom and we say spiritual, you kind of get it. But spiritual ambassadors, he named 12 of those to go into all the world to take his gospel, particularly the gospel of his kingdom. So I wanted to point that out to you so that you recognize that we all began our faith. If you got born again off the word of God, now if you got born again off somebody's testimony, I don't know what to say. If you got born again off of a concert, I don't know. Unless they had an altar call and they literally moved from the song and praise and worship theme or mode of God into the redemptive mode, I don't know what to tell you. Because every Christian that is really saved by the Lord Jesus Christ is saved according to the gospel that he brought to the planet, the gospel that he promised would come when he spoke to Abraham, which Galatians 3, verse 8 tells us about, you were born again by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it was introduced and presented to the world by apostles. Whether we understand, because people always say, well, why do we need apostles? We need apostles so we don't veer off. Of course, they're our compass. They're our anchor. They're our direction, because they're the one, that's the mantle that introduced this thing, you know, and brought it to the planet. And so when you get born again, whether you're led to the Lord by an evangelist, a discipler, a track hand or outer, it still is springing from the fountain of apostleship, which is why all Christians begin their Christianity apostolically. Now, after that, you decide whether you want to be an apostolic Baptist, apostolic Methodist, Episcopalian, you want to be, you know, Word of Faith or whatever else you want to call yourself. Those are your surnames. Those are the surnames of your faith. But your first name is Apostolic Christian. First name, Apostolic Christian. And so here's why it's a big deal. It's a very big deal simply because as God moves into reinstating apostleship, we begin to see the reason why he's been having apostles come back on the scene. And I'll give it to you for three good reasons. Number one, apostles are always about gods and nations. When God's faith becomes entwined and confused and ripped with all other faiths, then you need to recognize that God is going to raise up apostles, because the first apostles' jobs were to face off with the gods of this world, not just the gods of an age, gods of this world. They had not even dealt with Jesus like that. So that's number one, gods and nations. Number two, gathering all nations, causing the Gentiles to become obedient to the faith of Almighty God. Because remember, we're knocking out gods and nations, so now we have to have the Gentiles become obedient to the faith of Almighty God. So that's the second thing. And then the last one, to make royal priesthood, the royal priesthood of Jesus Christ, a naturalized citizen of heaven. Now, also some three good points. If you're an apostle, if you're a prophet, because it can't happen without prophets. I want you to tell everybody, apostles can't happen without prophets. I know they've been trying to. Cannot happen. Can't happen. And so I want you to remember that. God, apostles, number one, apostles are spirit like God, spiritual ambassadors, eternity's ambassadors. I always call them eternity's ambassadors because we understand that, because that's who sent them and that's who backed them. So you can say spiritual ambassador, you can say eternity's. Hear me, because it's important, because we're making apostolic Christians. You need to be able to articulate this. You need to be able to express it and say it in a way that makes sense. So that's first thing. The second thing you need to know about apostleship is about gods and nations, not fathering, sistering, brothering, uncling. It's none of those things. Cousining, we don't do that. It's about gods and nations. When God raises up this mantle, this office to fulfill his word that he would bring all Gentiles into the covenant, the commonwealth of Israel, that he would reach out and he would pull out a body or a mass of Gentiles in his name. So he said that. So, and the national peace comes from being born again. You must be born again, being born from above. I don't know about you, but that's good. I'm just all excited. Because you know what? Every time I tell this gospel thing, I get excited. You know, something inside me, that fountain just opens up. You know, that dispensation opens up, and it just floods my soul. And I can just go on like as you can hear me. So that's the second thing. We have to make naturalized citizens of God's eternal world. What is that? Being born again, that we may become partakers of his divine nature. Because you cannot make it, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You've got to leave this flesh, and you've got to leave this blood in the dust for someone else. So that's the last one. And then, of course, making the Gentiles obedient to the faith of the Almighty God. See, these are real things. I didn't have to extrapolate this. I didn't have to reach wonder. We didn't have to go out into all of these kind of, I don't even know what kind of things we do. I didn't have to do that. All of that is right there for apostleship. That is why you need apostles. As long as there's a Gentile being born that needs to be made or born again and made obedient to the faith, you need an apostle. As long as God does not exist every other deity in the planet, then you need an apostle. Now, I don't know why I'm starting tonight, but somebody must have had this discussion with someone, or it's been swirling around in your brain. It's okay for you to Facebook me or Periscope me and let me know who this is. But you need to recognize that's why you need an apostle. It's not about giving you a spiritual mother and a spiritual father. That's not helpful. That can be the an after effect. And there are a lot of after effects and byproducts of apostleship of any ministry. That is not why God has apostles. It's nice to know why you have one, but isn't it more important to know why God has them, why the Lord Jesus keeps raising them up, keeps sending them out generation after generation? I mean, the world has said they can't stand it, or either they perverted it. Churches said we don't want them. You know, Christians have said, I don't get the point. But God doesn't seem to care. He still continues to do it. So I wanted to lay that foundation. That is what an apostolic Christian is. We are aware of God's conflict with the fallen angels that have now taken on deity status. But that's what apostles face off with. We're very much aware of that. We're very much aware that there are a lot of faiths in the world for you to follow, but only one deity will beget you again as a literal offspring, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, His Father and His Holy Spirit. Now, come on, guys, tell me, was that good? That was good. First, come on now. I need you to warm up. I know some of you all just didn't pass dinner, but I need you to warm up because God wants to be loved up tonight. He's been missing our loving him. So, you know, we got to love him up, and we have to get that truth out here. Why are we having apostolic Christians? Brother Price, why are you doing this? Because it's apostolic Christianity that began this thing. It's apostolic Christians that learned Christ first. It's apostolic Christians that faced off with those other deities and those other gods. It's apostolic Christians who understood what this was about, who came into this thing. It doesn't make a difference whether Paul has letters of how he addressed the Corinthians. The Corinthians found out that there was a real God and that Jesus Christ is God. I want to tell you, one day we're going to do a journey. I'm going to do a journey on how this thing went from that to this, because Jesus did the unthinkable, the unimaginable, in a time when he had to literally earn his own reputation. Do you know, oh goodness, Ashley, I'm going to get excited. Do you know that Jesus Christ had to earn his own reputation among the gods? Even though he's creator, even though he's sovereign, he subjected himself to every one of their tests, every one of their contests, their conflicts, their competition, their rivalry. He did, and ended up in 2,000 plus years, oh, come on, somebody, letting the world know why he's the name above every name. People, we chose wisely. Yeah. We chose wisely. We chose the right God. You know, when you think about what it was like for Christ in the whole realm of the gods, do you realize that he did something ridiculous in the mind of humans? He ends up, first of all, he starts out as sovereign, downgrades himself to human to become a savior, defeats the enemy in the heart of the earth, rises back, pays the price for all creation to be redeemed and brought back into one in God. See, I'm preaching this gospel. And you know what? I'm not even making it sound like it's, you know, I'm not doing it Elizabethan. All right? And so he does that. Then he turns around, pours out the Holy Ghost so that the spiritual side of our citizenship literally hits the planet to find our bodies, to join our souls, and to be inhabited so that God can inhabit us by the Holy Ghost. Then he turns around and says, oh, by the way, I'm God. And he sends us out, starting out with 12 little motley guys, and say, go tell the world that I'm God. And go tell the world I'm the God that died for them. Everybody had a dying God. You're going to hear some people argue with you about that. Everybody had a dying God, but nobody had a resurrecting God that really resurrected. Their dying God was about nature. Okay, every time winter came, the God of the area died. And then when spring came, the God came back in life. Oh, come on, guys. So they looked at plants growing and not changed lives. But Paul said, but changed lives proved the ministry of Jesus Christ, taking people from darkness to light, moving them into the righteousness of God Almighty. That is what we do. And where did that begin? That began with his apostles. As a matter of fact, we could say that everybody got the same message, but my Bible says that Jesus would preach a message to everybody in code. You know, today, you know, then they said parables. Today we say in code. Because a parable is a code. It's a coded truth. And so, you know, back then he preached the gospel in code. And then the Bible said when he was alone, he told his apostles and his disciples, those who were going to be with him, all things. But then he told his apostles all of the deep things. So there is a knowledge, there is an impartation, there is a wisdom, there is an insight that God implants in his apostolic ministers and his apostles for them to pass on to apostolic Christians. Now, this is not knocking any other Christianity, so don't start writing me letters about, you know, God is no respected person. The whole Bible is about people God respected and disrespected. And if you read it, you find that he had a whole lot of respect for a lot of things. He just never respected people on their own merit. Always respected his calling. He's always respected his gifting. He's always made a difference between the just and the unjust, the righteous and the wicked. He's always done that. So it sounds really nice, but it's not accurate. And we say a lot of things that are just really sweet to our ears because it makes us feel good as little children. But that's that, because after all, little kids always have to know if daddy loves you the same as he loved me, or does daddy love you more than me. When you're mature, you realize that, honey, come on here. When you mature, you realize you were not as strong as your brother. When you mature, you realize you were not as strong as your sister. You realize that your sister was a crybaby. So why am I saying this? Because I want you to understand that this is all about apostolic Christianity, and because this was the Christianity that changed the world from the government of fallen deities to the government of Jesus Christ, it's a governmental calling. So, you see, you can call us legalistic, and we'll say thank you. That means we're honoring the laws of God, not just the law of grace, but the laws of God. He got a bunch of them. God has rules and codes for everything. And so we'll say thank you. Because that's what we know. And so whoever you are trying to understand what the big deal is that our world, look at television, look at the horror shows, look at the movies, look at the monsters. Do you know that in Scripture it says that when monsters arrive, it's because witchcraft is seated in the high places? And we can't get rid of monster anything. Everything is monster. We got monster trucks, monster ducks. We got monsters. Come on. Why? Because the church has abdicated its authority and its dominion. And literally brought this man's 2,000 years of success to a screeching halt, or almost to a screeching halt. So what does he have to do? He has to get Christians who understand him, not just Christians who can't stand him. Because Jesus has a lot of Christians who can't stand him. But he wants to get Christians who can go back and recover. It's not just for the apostles. The apostles raise up recoverers. We don't just carry out recovery. We raise up recoverers. We raise up restorers of the breach. We raise up people who want to see Jesus lifted up and do what it takes, not just through church worship. You realize that it's nice to say in church, we want to see Jesus lifted high. That's really great in church. You're in church for like 90 minutes. But do you want to lift him up all week long when you don't have your congregation and your choir and your music and your band and your banners and your streamers? Now how do you lift them up? We know how to sing them up, but how do we lift them up? Oh, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but the Lord has got me speaking in this vein. I had no idea that he wanted to go this way, but this is an exhortation he wanted to begin with. So some of you all who are wondering about this, the whole idea is this. Evangelical Christians are about soul winning and saving the world. It's about saving the lost, winning souls, and then keeping people at peace enough with God not to quit. Apostolic Christians are not negating that and will never negate that, because if we don't have get people saved, we won't have faith. So we understand that. But we want to take you on, like Paul said, let's go on to perfection. We want to make you mighty in God. We want to make you strong in the Lord. We want to make you a definitive model of heaven on earth, of eternity in the now, of God's world in control. And we want to do more than get you happy about going on mission trips. We want you to be able to take on commissions to do Matthew 28:18-20, which means disciples, nations. Not just Christians, not just lost, not just missionaries. So apostolic Christians have a whole different mandate. That's why we're not upset if you all don't want to get a pulpit ministry. We're excited about those of you who want to be in government, who want to be in senators, who want to be heads of state. We're excited by those of you who want to be in business, who want to be in marketplace. We're thrilled. You know why we're thrilled? Because that's go ye in all the world. See, we got to get you in all the world. And you have to be able to do that in a way that wins, not try to take church to work. See, because many of these marketplace teachings about you taking church to work. It's not about church to work. It's about Jesus Christ to that world. It's about taking the light of the Lord, the wisdom of God, the intelligence of God. How about this, the savvy of God? You know, God's a savvy God, but because you all don't read the Old Testament, you don't know God's savvy. You don't even know that God is strategic. You don't even know what makes him strategic. Because, see, the whole Bible was not about church. But, see, the way we've done it is become church and church, God one way, work for God a way. I don't know why we're doing this, but you know what? I'm excited. I'm just going to go on and love me up some Jesus. Why don't I just keep loving up the Lord? Are they following me? Are they getting it? Huh. Is this a sugar pie, Jesus? He's a sugar honey man. Woo! Lord, I'm, hey! God, I love you. Oh, my Lord. Breakthrough. We're going to break this yoke down. We're going to destroy the yoke of darkness, and we're going to enmantle you with the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand that it's, when you are dealing with a real apostle, it is about Jesus Christ. Not Jesus only, but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ crucified. Paul said, I decided not to know anything but him, Jesus, and him crucified. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the Father of Jesus Christ. It's about the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's about the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It is about the life of Jesus Christ. It's about the wars of Jesus Christ. It's about the winds of Jesus Christ. Anybody getting a message here? Guess what? What is it all about? It's about Jesus Christ. When you're dealing with an apostle who can't talk about Jesus, that's because the two haven't met yet. That's the calling running away with the commission. Because it's about Jesus the Christ. It's got to be about Jesus Christ because that's the only thing that brought change in the world. And so when people get all upset, all you want to do is talk about Jesus. All you want to do is talk about your little devils of profanity, perversion. Oh, come on, if we're going to talk God, it's not my fault. My God is good and clean. You have to recognize it's all about Jesus Christ. An apostle is going to bring you into Jesus Christ. An apostle is going to lift up Jesus Christ. An apostle is going to break the seal on Jesus Christ. An apostle is going to break the seal on Christ in you. And they're going to seal Christ in you. It's about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I don't know why tonight I got to make sure you get that. And that's what apostolic Christianity is. It's not about your issues, picking your sword, psychology, masquerading as redemption. It is not that. It's about Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's about the creator of all the universe. It's about the creator of all creation, not just the universe. God is not just this. God is bigger than this universe. He's all creation. He's the omniscient, omnipresent God. And so it's always about that. And if you're with an apostle and you still don't know Jesus, you don't know his mind on things, then you're either with a young apostle, an early and untrained apostle, or you're with an apostle that's called by another God. Because apostles must preach the God that called them. The apostles must impart the God that called them. They must disseminate the message of the God that called them. They must dispense the kingdom, the unction, and the anointing of the God that called them. They must do that. That's how you know it. How did everybody know it? Why do you think we came? Jesus talked about false Christ because the enemy woke up and said, wait a minute, sir, is that the name? Oh, I got it. Here's our hopes. We'll all just talk about Jesus. But they can't break the seal on him because Jesus does not reveal himself to just anybody who calls his name. Was that good, Providence?
Word is strong tonight.
It is. I'm pushing, baby, because this thing is coming out. Because God wants you to understand that you are saved by the precious blood of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. That you were born again from the Spirit of the living God, and you were born from God above. You're not just born from some philosophy, a hot night out, a good high, a good romantic encounter, a wonderful spiritual feeling. That's not how you get born again. That's how you feel refreshed. And you need to know the difference between a refreshing and redemption. An apostle is going to talk to you about a redemption, not a refreshing. Hallelujah. And you need to know that. And I'm telling you that. And I know that we have all kinds of debates about it, but I'm telling you, the more apostolic Christians we get, the more God's going to take this thing back because he's taking it back with wisdom and with work, the working of his kingdom, the works of his spirit, And he's taking it back with warfare. Because one thing you will know about an apostolic Christian, they're not cowardly. They can't be cowardly because Christ is so big in them, he won't let them shake. He won't let them tremble. And the more you learn this word and the more you get that impartation and the more those providences begin to work in you, the more powerful you become. Apostolic Christians are powerful, which is why they terrify the other people's faith. You realize that we terrify folk. That's why they keep trying to get rid of us. They're not trying to get rid of us because we're false. They're trying to get rid of us because we're powerful. We're potent. We bring the potency of their maker on them. We bring the realization of their maker on them. We bring the justice of their maker on them and the judgment. We bring that with us. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Y'all better help me praise him, man. I feel a praise. We got to praise this man. Hey, come on, somebody. Yes, Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. We're forceful on purpose. For years, we've been told to whisper. Well, y'all should whisper. Well, you shouldn't be so zealous. Are you kidding? I'm a zealous, big mouth. Yes, I am, apostolic Christian. Loving on the Lord. I'm an apostle with an apostolic Christian. Loving him up? Yes, I do. I love up my Jesus. He's my sugar honey man. And you know why? Because I know he's Lord. I know he's Lord by the fact that they're passing all kinds of stuff trying to get rid of us. And you can't get rid of us because the Holy Ghost stays pregnant. And half of those people that are fighting us today could be saved tomorrow. All you got to do is pray. Oh, hallelujah. Because God is getting ready to have a mass salvation. Boy, I'm telling you, he's getting ready to blanket the earth with a new flame. He's getting ready to blanket the planet with a new word, a new gospel. I mean, I'm talking about a new dimension of his gospel. Folk are going to get saved. I'm telling you, and he said, I'm getting ready to plunder the enemy's goods. You better write this down. I'm plundering the enemy's goods. And it's not just in his closets, not just in his storehouses. He said, I'm going into his soul. Oh, somebody, bless the Lord. I'm getting ready to go into his camp and get my people out. I'm calling my people out of Egypt. I'm calling my people out of Rome. I'm calling my people out of the nation, and I'm bringing them into my spirit because I promised my son an inheritance, and all heaven knows that Jesus is going to get what Jesus wants. Ha! Hallelujah. That's a good word. You know that's a good word. Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. It's a good word. God is getting ready to get his own family, and you're going to be surprised at how many people that you never thought would like God. We're gonna stand there and talk about I bless my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they're not gonna stand up there dressed like other gods. They're not gonna stand up there dressed like goddesses. They're not gonna stand up there dressed like the wicked. They're gonna stand up there dressed like the kingdom of heaven. And they're gonna say, oh no, I met him. I know my Redeemer lives. I met my Redeemer. Because, honey, they're going to know Jesus as he is. They're not going to sit there and look like knockoffs of culture trying to invade and masquerade in God. That's not going to happen. I'm telling you, God is getting ready to strike the planet, and it's going to be a hot move. And, honey, it may take a while for souls to change, but they will change because Jesus will begin to put that light of the glorious gospel in him. All right, let's do a roll call, and I'll give you a couple. I got some stuff. I did some stuff in God. I did something, but I did. Roll call! Who's out there?
Okay, we have Atlanta, Georgia. Gainesville, Florida.
Augusta,
Georgia.
Oh, that's new.
I know Tulsa's in the house because I've seen some comments from Tulsa. So you jump right into it, so they haven't even signed on where they're from yet.
I love that!
All right, Fayetteville, North Carolina is in the house. Tennessee is in the house. They love
roll call. I love it because I have to know where my family is.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Oh, yeah, I know they still signing on. But what about you, Norman? Who else you have? Who do you have?
We have Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Jacksonville, Florida.
Woo!
Tampa, Florida. Riverside, California.
Oh, wow. On the other side.
California.
All right.
Sandy Springs, Georgia. Maryland. We have Trinidad.
Ha! Family!
Warren, Michigan.
Yeah. Oh, that's new.
Savannah, Georgia.
Yes.
Houston, Texas.
Oh, I know.
Texas. El Paso, Texas.
Texas is signing on! Yes, Texas signing on!
Detroit.
My family there.
Miami, Florida.
Ooh, you know me in Florida, you know.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
You know, we've been doing well with North Carolina. Hi, Raleigh. How are you doing?
Plainfield, New Jersey.
Oh, my old stomping ground. How did Plainfield?
Now, Baltimore as well. Charlotte is checking in from a couple places. Charlotte, North Carolina, Philly's in the house, and Canada is reporting for duty.
Hey, Canada! Thank God. You know I'm going to get back to Canada. You know I love Canada. I do. I love Canada and the UK. I love all those nations that I went. They're wonderful folks. You know why I love them? Because the Holy Ghost is the same around the world. God is the same. He is. I mean, and it's so wonderful to hear him doing it, to be who he is in different languages, to watch him enfold himself and permeate different cultures. I love it. It's just sweet. Ah, sweet. Welcome. I love roll calls. So I always try not to forget it because it's important. I want to go to, I gave you so much, you probably thought I didn't have anything else to give you, but I do.
They probably won't ever think that about you,
Jeff. They probably won't, huh? Woo! Look at that. Welcome to ABC's 2, Discipling Apostolic Christians, Penetrating and Comprehending the Mind of the Almighty. You know, the most challenging thing for folks to wrap their head around is how God thinks and how God speaks. I mean, how many hours of training and books and whatever just to learn that? So here we're going to learning how God thinks and speaks. So where do we start? Why is it important? Because God's word is light. And without the light of God's word, we don't really know what's going on. Because John says God is light, and in him is no darkness. At all. I like that. No darkness. There's not a dark spot in the Almighty. The Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of that word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. You don't understand God, it's because you haven't been put in his light. Because the more God put, the more you learn his word, the more the light turns on. Now, I know this because I'm living it. I'm living it, oh my gosh, every single day. I'm living it. I thought, my goodness, we surely have shortchanged the people concerning you. So let's look at this. Hallelujah. So we want to talk about how God thinks. God thinks his world first and this world next. So let's look at a couple of God facts, quick God facts. God thinks in terms of his creative priorities, creation premises, lifelong values, heavenly practices, divine habits. Did you know God has habits? And if God inhabits you, guess what you become? One of his habits. Eternal cultures, citizens' lifestyles, and his long-established tried and true methods. These are God's priorities. This is how God thinks. You want to talk about God. No, I don't understand. How do I know it's God? First of all, God's going to think God, creator first. And then he's going to think creation because he's not just accountable to us and we're whole. So I'm going to go to the next one. He's also going to think about his perpetual heavenly existence. God is going to be around forever because he's been around forever. He's never going to go away. I know they keep talking about it, but he's never going anywhere. Where's he going to go? He's stuck in the same place. Come on. So now let's look at this. Foremost, remember this if you're taking notes. God thinks from heaven to earth. Oh, sorry, guys. From heaven to earth. That's how he thinks. So we think God, we believe God thinks from earth to heaven. So we kind of get all caught up in him. Well, you know, God, he's like, oh, your father just loves you. God just loves me so much. I mean, he doesn't care about anything else. Are you kidding? We are the babies of the family. We are the baby kids. Because God, we got a lot of elders. So God thinks, first of all, success. Whatever God does, he's going to do it when he knows he can succeed. If you think that God is holding you up on something, understand it's because you have not entered into his success factors. He has to be able to factor you as a success. And here it is. God has got to be able to factor answering your prayers as success. So before God lets you win, he's got to make you a winner. Write that down. One more. So then, here's what's really good. You're going to love this. God thinks about his generations. God thinks about first the generations of Adam and then the generation of Christ. The generations of Adam and the generations of Christ. Two generations, two separate destinies. okay? It's important for you to know this because, let me talk to you for a minute. It's important for you to understand that everybody is born with two generations. One has to do with the generations of Adam, that's all humans, all flesh, everything that every human being that's, you know, made in the image and likeness of God. But then there is the generation of Christ, which you will read about in Matthew. If you've never paid attention to that, Adam has many generations, but Christ has one. Isaiah 53 said, who will declare his generation? Now, why is it important for you, that little plural there, why is that important to know? Because Adam's generations will come and go. They will be born and die, born and die, born and die. Because they're born under the law of sin and death. Meanwhile, Jesus' generation is only one. Remember, I've been telling you over and over again that we were in Christ before the foundation of the world. When Christ was a sovereign, we were in him. When God brought Jesus Christ into existence, he brought us into existence with him, in him, the same way your father's sperm was brought into existence with him. You know, they say a little baby has all the sperm he'll ever need for a lifetime. So God literally brought us into existence in Jesus Christ, which is why we are heavenly, which is why we must be born again from above, which is why, this is very important, which is why we're not an earthly faith. We're not an earthly faith. We're a heavenly citizenry. It's important to write this down, and apostolic Christians have to know that. Part of why you're tired of church is because church has become like the earth, and you're looking for what is God. You have that, in other words, all of your inner signals and your inner instincts are saying, but where is God? Well, this isn't God. Lord, this ain't nothing but flesh. God, just help me. I mean, this is flesh. Oh, if they sing that song one more time, if he runs around the church one more time, if they throw that, I don't want to hear another one of that. Lord, I don't need another cliche. I need Jesus. Well, because your kingdom nationality, which is in your being, which is what you were born again with, is crying out for the presence of God, the civilization, the action, the dynamics of the living God in his world. It's literally crying out for it. And yet, you go to church and you're not getting it. So you walk away famished. And that's why I've said to you again, and I'll say it repeatedly throughout my time with you, many of you have ceased to be evangelical a long time ago. Most of you have ceased to be traditional. You stay at home. You're like, I might as well go to a game. I might as well go to the mall. I might as well do anything. What is it? You're not done with God. You're done with church as it's been presented, as it's been promoted in your world. You're not done with God. And people, you almost, some of you, I'm speaking to somebody purposely right now. Some of you have even begun to wonder, do I not love the Lord any longer? Am I no longer saved? I mean, what's wrong with me? None of this is touching me. You know, you go to church and everybody's rolling over the floor and frothing at the mouth, and you're sitting there saying, when is this going to be over? You go there and then sung that chorus, that stanza one more time, and you're like, okay, enough already. I got it. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right, all right. Everything's going to be all right, all right, all right, all right, all right. And you're like, okay, I got it. It's all right. Now show me how. Show me how God is going to make it all right. Tell me, what do I do when this song is gone and I'm back at home where it's not all right? And all I have are that music and that sound pounding in my head. See, some of you are not, you're not tired of God. You're not done with God. You haven't even begun with God. God is infinite. But you're tired of how we have packaged him, and you don't like the present brand of Jesus Christ. You don't like the model that we're giving you. You want to know the man who literally changed this world from what it was, from darkness to light. So that is why you have to recognize whoever you are. God just says, I made you an apostolic Christian. Now follow it. Just follow it. You are tuning in every week because you're already apostolic Christians. What you're trying to do is get classes on how to express what you've become. And a lot of you became this because you said, all of you, every time you said, can we go back to the old-time religion? Can we just go back to how God was? How did they deal before? Because you know this is not how God does it. And some of you know because he's given you dreams. Others, he's talked to you in prayer. And others, you've just read his word and gotten a real revelation. So you have to recognize that there's a way that the Adamic man does things and there's a way that the Christ man does things. The Adamic generation, Adam's generation, there's a whole prophecy on everything pertaining to Adam. So whenever you fall out of Christ, you immediately default to your Adamic lineage and your Adamic destiny. Backsliding means I'm going back to Adam. I'm stepping out of Christ, and I'm going back to Adam. I don't like it in Christ. That's what backsliding really means. I know we made it sound like it's some sort of theological concept, whatever, but it actually means I'm leaving Christ to return to Adam. There are no free agents in this creation. So you don't just float around a free agent. When you backslide, you don't backslide into some sort of lesser version of Jesus Christ. You backslide into Adam. That's why you need to understand two generations, two separate destinies. Adam's destiny is doomed. So when you step out of Christ, you go back to doom. But see, only apostolic Christians can get this. And only, even if you can't get it intellectually, something in your spirit grabs it. Moving on, let's go back. So God always, according to his generational ordainments. So what are those? Adam and Christ, remember. So which one are you? What generation we are? Are we? Remember, we got born again to leave Adam's generation to enter Christ, to leave Adam's genealogy to enter Jesus Christ, to leave mortality to enter into immortality. So always, God remembers what he appointed and installed in all of the lives he's made. So why is that important? Because what God has put in you is prophetic, is prophecy, is destiny. Destiny is prophecy, and prophecy is destiny. They go together. God remembers everything he put in the seed. Everything. He never misses it. God's seed composition and content drives everything. Everything that's in you, that was in you when you were but a sperm and an egg, everything that was going to make you who you are, days, what does Psalm 39 say? Even the days that you would live and how you would live them were all in that seed. That is the power of a seed, potency of a seed. Oh, my. Seeds contain life, life plans, life resources, life courses, as God ordained. In your seed, the life is in your seed. The plan, that's what DNA and RNA and all the other codings and the genes and genetics and all of that is in your seed. And after all of these years, we're still breaking down the seed and we still only have a little bit of it. Because when you think of a seed going in the ground, becoming a tree, a seed becoming a bush, how many leaves, how many, and even they have veins and springs and all of that, the intelligence, even the fact that they would bloom at a certain time and die at the right time. Do you realize that humanity is the same way? We bloom at a certain time and we die at the right time? God thinks according to generations and his generational ordainments. The genealogy of your family tree controls your destiny until you leave Christ, until you leave it and enter Christ. That is why you'll have a whole family of people who are just, you know, wretched or whatever, and you have this one bright star. That's the one that was in Christ before the foundation of the world. Oh, sorry, guys. Ready? So God wants you to understand God is working with two species of humanity. Which generation are you from? Adam or Christ? You have to figure out which one you are. When you are born again, you leave Adam's generation, but you don't leave his curses unless you fully embrace Christ. And there are certain things that will happen in your flesh because they're passed on from your Adamic genealogy lineage that have little to do, that should die on earth and not be taken to heaven. Everything that God wants in heaven, he changes, upgrades, transforms with his eternal life. Everything he doesn't, he allows it to die on earth. Now, I know that was profound. Are you guys okay with that? Yeah? Okay. You have to ask my folks because, you know, I know I go there. You know, when I do this sometimes, I have to swallow back two-thirds of what I'd like to say because I know that there's so much foundation needed for it to make sense. So I appreciate it if you've gotten that. So if you look at the screen there, well, you did see it, but you can see in the background, there's the generations all there, but which tree are we coming from? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil or the tree of life in Christ Jesus? Because the Bible said the righteous are a tree of life. So we automatically know that we were in the tree of life before Adam ate. Hallelujah. Isn't that good to know? Moving on, I know we only have a little bit of time, but I want to start getting into some of the ways God thinks. All right? So God always, listen, then God's thinking shifts to his preordained priority. God has a priority of thought. He has a priority of action. He has a hierarchy of actions and a priority of thought. We're going to talk about that in a minute. God never confuses his priorities, and that's what we don't get. We think that the minute we get saved, we become his priority. No, we enter priorities that existed for those who got saved. So he never confuses his significances. The signs and wonders and the signatures he's put in, the deposits, the imprints he has on it, he's never confused. We could tell God all day long that that's not how we feel, and he's going to say, are you kidding? You more than feel like that. You're it. His importances, what's important to God is a priority. Now, I know we said he will give us the desires of our heart, but what we don't realize is that he puts the ones in there he wants to give us. And the ones that he doesn't want to give us, he lets them remain there because we got them from Adam to judge us. His prime concerns. God has primary concerns that take precedence over all else. His preferences. There are certain things that just prevail in God's life and in his world. He just doesn't forget. His dominancies. He's never going to take low man. That's not who he's going to be. He took low man one time on Calvary. He's never doing that again. Never going to do it. He's never going to do it. I don't care. Now, you might think God is humbling himself. He's not. God already humbled himself. That's how you came to be, because God humbled himself. And his prominences. And based on what is common practice for him in his world, what is pervasive in his realm, what is spiritually popular and frequently occurring. All of these things God does in lightning slash moments. But why are you doing this, Dr. Price? Because people keep asking me about wisdom. They keep asking me, how do you know this stuff? Because wisdom is a meticulous journey. It's tedious. It's painstaking. It's minute. It is wrapped in minutia. God has such minutia that he plows through in less than one of our seconds. You can't imagine it. I test him a lot. I like to test him. He said, try me. So he should have told me to try him because I test him. I test him regularly. And I ask God all the time, well, God, why do you do so-and-so? Well, where's my best and what? Well, God, and it stuns me that he knows every little thing, even the things I don't know. I was one time sharing this. I had picked up what I thought was something, some sort of a health thing that I was doing. I'm not even going to get into what it was because that's not the point of this discussion. But anyhow, I was doing this health thing. And I mean, I must have been doing it a couple of weeks, but all of a sudden I just started feeling really, really horrible. Now, of course, I've disconnected it. Well, it would be great if God just says, you know, this health thing that you're doing is what's causing this. No, no, no. He said, your so-and-so is coming under attack because of this. You need to stop that now because you're going to be ill. Huh. He will tell me what I'm doing to my various organs and other people's organs. He just won't tell you. He will tell you how something is going to land in 23 years and 110 years. Why? Because God has no end. you know, we treat Omega as if it's the end of God, but I like the fact that at the end, at the last of the word Omega is the word Mega for big, Mega. So God has no end. And understand that when God began creating us, he only did it after he had explored himself to his end, whatever that is. And you know he's not telling. Is this helping you guys to understand God and get up? You know, that's what an apostle does. We want you to become familiar with our God, familiar with his ways, not just acquainted, but intimately familiar with him so that you cooperate with how God does God in your life. You know, most of us are uncooperative because we don't even know that God does those kind of things. We don't know if God thinks like that. We're like, really? God, really? Is that the Lord? I mean, I remember y'all, some of you all, you heard, well, God is not in sports, or he's not in the annual competition. He's not in the NBA, or he's not in the NFL, or whatever, the hockey things, or the Olympics that we just had. Are you kidding? God's a creator. He loves seeing his handiwork peaked. He gets a kick out of it. So I'm telling you, because some of you all are deciding your kids can't go to certain school, they can't play basketball, can't play football, and whatever, stop that. Stop that. God wants to show the extent, the excellence of the human form when it pleases him. We have to work hard to perform the way an animal does instinctively. The little cheetah just gets up and says, oh, there's dinner. Goes. Us, we got to lift weights. We've got to run around the block. We've got to climb steps. We got to change our diet. The cheetah's going to eat. We got to change everything. Why? Because God wants to see us defeat the law of sin and death. He gets a kick out of it every time he sees those pole vaults, or every time he sees somebody soaring in the sky, or every time he sees somebody, one team goes another, and he enjoys it. He enjoys his art. He enjoys those things. God's not just sitting up in church waiting for us to get back next week to make him feel good. What God doesn't want is for you to give his glory to another. God's only issue is that you would give his glory to another. That's his only issue. So when they stand up there and say, I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and y'all sniff, snort, and spurn them, quit that. Quit that, because no devil could have given that kind of superiority and excellence. I'm telling you, no. Now, the fact that sick people give the glory to another does not do away with the fact that our creator and maker did it. Some of you all are just really struggling over your purpose and your destiny. So I really want to tell you, they're telling me I have to wrap it up. Did you have something you want to say?
Can we give the details for this week?
You can give the details. Oh, she's trying to show off. Now, come on, be good at what you do.
Ow.
Come on, girl, be good at what you do.
Be good.
You want to come over here to my world? Welcome to my world.
I'm just visiting.
Welcome to
No, I'll just stand. Okay, Chicago, this week. For details, go to www.kcialliance.org. That's www.kcialliance.org. Dr. Price is speaking Thursday evening at 8:30. It's a short session. There will be live streaming at www.christfamilynetwork, where you were just broadcasting the last time we were in that area, .com. That's christfamilynetwork.com. You will have to give a donation because this is a paid event, which is why we won't be able to just give it away for free, as far as I know, because, again, like our events, people are paying a nice pretty penny to be there. And they said that there will be a donation link so you can pay your donation and catch your Dr. Paula Price. Again, kcialliance.org for the full event schedule, because we want you to see what's going on at the entire event. The theme is, hold on, glory on ground level.
You know I'm touched.
And they told Dr. Price, you better bring the glory.
Don't bring some heaven.
No pressure.
I don't have pressure.
But we know, so you get us all praised up every week,
that's
so we
right.
Know the glory comes with Dr. Price.
I bring my sugar love. How about that? If I bring my honey man, he ought to glory ought to come with him.
Oh, yeah. I had a minister tell me years ago, well, when we hear Dr. Price is coming, we know the Lord's going to show up, because he always shows up for Dr. Price.
He shows up. He's my honey. You have to show up for your
honey.
That is all. Now, listen. I want to say this to you guys. pay the donation, because apostolic Christians know if your kingdom is to be powerful, it requires you to be generous. So pay the donation. These are wonderful people. It's a wonderful time. Now, listen, don't be late because my time is short. They're going to give me a window and a blink. So you come late talking about I was coming in the car, putting down the groceries. You liable to miss me now.
You'll be able to watch it later for a donation.
Oh, you'll be able to watch it later for a donation.
That wasn't their information.
Okay. See, I'm really glad, you know. And so, you know, I wanted to say this because I needed you to recognize where I was going to be on Thursday since I wasn't going to do prophetic ed the way I normally do. And but I think this is going to be a richer experience for you. Again, apostolic Christians, there's no way in the world you want to miss anything apostolic. How are you going to be an apostolic Christian and you don't learn the water, the world, the drip, the skip, nothing? Anyway, they tell me I'm running out of time. Am I running out of time?
To be continued.
To be continued. Well, let's see what the next one is when we come back together again. Oh, we're going to talk about God's premises. Because you need to know that God has a premise. So, until Thursday, now, Paula Price Show still on, 11 o'clock Central Time. We're not going anywhere, and I got good stuff for you this Thursday. And then again, you know how to Christ Family Network and all the other stuff you're going to do. But so, and also so to me, I need your help. I need your seeds. I do want to let you know that your seeds matter. And we do thank you, everyone who has sown. But so, I have a big commission. I've got to be a lot of places, and you can help me get there. God bless you. Love you much, and I'll talk to you Thursday morning.